are at week two, the midway point already, of our December series called Step Christmas. And this series, if you hadn't had an opportunity to be here last week, and if you would, man, jump on the podcast to listen to what we shared last week. It will be a blessing to your life. And this series was launched conceptually looking at Joseph. And asking the questions, you know, around the manger scene and the times leading up to the manger scene, what was it like for him in the moments or maybe a moment at the manger scene? What was it like in his mind? What were his thoughts? What were his feelings? What was his heart beat in the moment like as he was experiencing it? Because we see what Mary's going through. I mean, you see that in scriptures like Luke 2:19, right? Describing all of the events, and it says, and Mary treasured up all of these things, and it says, and pondered them in her heart. It actually says the exact same thing in verse 52 of Luke chapter 2. You see just an accurate, detailed description of what Mary is feeling, of what Mary is experiencing, what she is thinking in these moments as she becomes the mother of the Son of God. But he's the stepdad. He doesn't have the deoxyribonucleic acid connection, right, to this moment that Mary has. He's the stepdad. There had to be a part of him. There had to be a portion of them of him or a slice of him that felt out of the circle. Maybe Joseph in that moment felt like the red-headed stepdad, right? In the moment. While in the circle, there's Mary and Jesus and angels in heaven and everybody's connected to this moment. It's awesome, but he felt out of the circle. To everyone else, it was Christmas. But to Joseph, maybe it felt a little more like step. Christmas. And so we really had a good time digging into that story, and in a spiritual parallel, we begin to unfold truth last week that many of us can often feel like we're having a step Christmas around this time of year, in that maybe you feel alone or isolated or marginalized, not connected to the holiday like everyone else is. And we broke that down into three areas of life that can often make us feel a little isolated. And that is in the realm of finances, in the realm of family, and in the realm of frenzy. And last week we talked about finances, and we had a good time digging into finances and put that slide up that went viral all over Lincoln County last weekend. People were asking me, what the heck are all those pictures up? But, you know, we took that and just shared it. How many know that's truth right there? A successful Christmas isn't measured by the dollar amount represented under the tree. Now, you need to be relieved of that pressure to not feel out of the circle because you can't put $1 million under the tree. I got a lot of response from people saying thank you for sharing with me just how creative my Christmas can be. I will very much make sure that groceries will be under the tree next weekend. A lot of ramen noodles under there. I tell you, they'll just be appreciated. Anything you wrap, amen. Today we're going to talk on family. Another area of our life that can perhaps make us feel isolated or alone during the holidays, because I believe that there is a considerable number of people who feel like this around this time of year, where you see everyone else. Let me see. Where you see everyone else. Celebrating, planning, making plans for, talking about holidays with the family. I can't wait. You hear them saying, for mom and dad to come over, and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and kids, everybody's coming. You see everybody in the circle making plans with their families, and maybe you're out here. And this year you don't have a mom to celebrate the holidays with. Maybe you don't have a dad to celebrate the holidays with. Maybe you don't have a child this year as you had planned to celebrate the holidays with, and it feels incomplete. It feels absent. It feels like step Christmas. Maybe this circle represents divorce. Maybe you see everybody with all of their families making plans, and it's going to be awesome and great, and maybe you've experienced the pain of divorce, and that is just really settling in to you right around this time of year. Maybe you see everybody in the circle with man, they're talking about my son's coming in from California, my other son's coming in from Seattle, my daughter's coming in from Florida. It's gonna be wonderful, but maybe your child is incarcerated and you won't get to experience it like everybody else. Step Christmas. You know, many homes in our nation today experience this pain in some form. Many. I had no idea writing this sermon this week that our family would be experiencing this loss, as we lost my grandmother this past week. And I appreciate every prayer that's been given toward our family, especially my grandfather, who's been a faithful member of this church every Sunday since we started, who lost his bride of 70 years this past week. And kind of eerie when you write a message about this and your family experiences it. And Christmas is a time where some of us feel in some way out of the circle, and we talked last week about how to get from here to here, right? We talked about that. We talked about how you can go from feeling excluded to included in the circle, and we broke those truths down by digging into the 4 points. Michael, you got those 4 points. We talked about how to do that. We unpacked these truths in that when we said to Joseph that if the tiny, sweet, 9 pounds, 6 ounce little baby Jesus could speak to this guy in the manger scene, he would very much tell Joseph, I didn't come so that you could be out of a circle. I didn't come so that you could feel out of a circle. I came so that you could be included. I came so that you could be placed inside of the circle of why I'm here, Joseph. I came to place you in the circle of my salvation. I came to place you in the circle of my provision. I came to place you in the circle of my arms and my comfort and my provision and my power. I didn't come to leave you out. I came to bring you in. Jesus came not to exclude. Jesus came to include. And we talked about how to do that right here. These are practical, spiritual, theological definitions that if we would apply to our lives, they will draw us in to the circle of God's provision. That Christmas isn't about what you do not have, it's about what you do have. Think on eternity. Man, I'm telling you, if you lost a loved one, can I tell you how comforting eternity is? to a Christ follower. Can I tell you that? It is so comforting. Think on eternity, that Jesus came from heaven to give us heaven. It's about thanksgiving, not being thankful for what you don't have, but thankful for what you do have. Even in the context of a lost loved one, thankful for the life I got to spend, for the conversations I got to have, for the experiences I had the privilege to experience. I'm thankful, God. Thankful for the faith that you've given me that has brought me through so much. Thankful for the opportunity to give. I mean, we're at our best when we're giving. And I can tell you, man, a big part to living that out right there, to applying this to our lives is found in the strength we gain from each other. We did a service 5 or 6 years ago. Do you have that picture of that service over at John Deere? And I love this right here, because what this is this was when we used Chinese handcuffs. Y'all remember the Chinese handcuff service? We handcuffed everybody together, right? And it was these right here. And what I love about it is once you put the finger in, it ain't coming out. Well, except for that one. But, you know, like you are trapped. Like it grabs on. And so we had each person like connected to each other. And we're like, we are family. We sang Sister Sledge, one of the great hymns of the church. We are family. Like it was fantastic. But I love this picture. I love this visual. Because we are the family of God. And when someone is tasked with having to live out the truths of God around this season of eternity, focus on eternity, focus on thanksgiving, focus on faith, focus on giving. When you are experiencing the pain of feeling out of the circle, can I tell you, it's families like this, the church family, the circles, the community of faith that we have around our lives that help us, give us great strength to live out these truths that we were never meant to do alone. How many know what I'm talking about? We were never meant to live out those truths alone. We were never meant to do life alone. We were meant to do life together. Together. And so let me practically connect solutions to this truth today. Never disqualify yourself from being an answer to someone's prayers. Meaning, in so many cases, the answer to prayer is being prayed right now. God, help me with this pain. Particularly prayed by people that feel out of the circle. God, help me with this pain I'm feeling. Can I tell you, in so many cases, the answer to those prayers are you and I. Are found in a brother or a sister that is willing to be the extension of the grace and love of God. And so let me give you the point. Here's what God wants us to know here today. It's just one point today in this message. That if you know someone hurting, if you know someone who's feeling incomplete this time of year, if you know someone who is experiencing absence this season, here is the point that God is wanting to make to you today. Do something about it. Do something about it. Do something about it. You have no idea how powerful your relevant reach can be into someone hurting this time of year. You have no idea how powerful it can be. That if you know somebody who's hurting, do something about it. Some of you may be saying, well, do what? Do what? If you and your family know somebody who's hurting, know somebody who's feeling absent, incomplete, suffered loss, struggling this year, whether it's outside of your home or inside of your home, here's what you need to do. I mean, find power in a heartfelt note. You write a heartfelt note to them. Go and get a piece of paper, grab a pen, and start writing just how much you are, watch me, thinking about them. Praying for them. How much you love them. And if you're starting to write it in your own words and your own way, you fold that baby up, put it in an envelope, and put it at their doorstep. They're out of town, put it in that mailbox and send that out. Can I tell you how powerful that reach is just into somebody's life? That right there is part of the definition of doing something about it. Write them a heartfelt note. Give them a phone call. Just ring them up, man, and tell them, hey, I just, you got a few minutes to talk? I just wanted to tell you how much I'm thinking about you this year. I know you've lost this, or I know you're struggling with this, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. And just start to talk and start to bring care. Can I tell you how powerful that phone call would be to somebody struggling this year? Powerful. Bring them some dinner or some Christmas cookies, man. Bake them with your family. And if you don't know how to bake them, find somebody to help you bake them. And put a batch in a Tupperware deal and give it to them. And don't expect the Tupperware back, because how many know you never get it back? Amen. just hear and tell them, keep the Tupperware. It's all right. Right? Just bake them some cookies. Can I tell you how powerful baked cookies would be for somebody struggling this time of year? Take your family and go caroling outside of their house one night. Somebody just said, not my family. You don't know what my family sounds like. Let me tell you this. You'd be surprised how beautiful your tone-deaf family would sound like to somebody struggling this year. You'd be surprised how beautiful that noise would be. Tell me that would make an impact in their life. Go over to their house. Pray with them. Embrace them. Pray with them. Visit with them. Look through old photo albums with them. And ask them to share their favorite memory with their lost loved ones. And somebody say, wouldn't that be digging up the past that they want to bury? No. Here's why that would be important. Can I tell you, just digging through an old photo album with somebody is important, because those old pictures are actually moments and experiences where feelings were felt, and mentally digging back to them is bringing those great feelings they had in those moments back up to the surface for them to experience. I've been with people through great loss, and I have seen smiles come through tears just by looking back at an old photo album with somebody. Doing something as simple as laying their eyes on an old memory resurrects those same feelings felt in a picture 20 years ago today. Man, it's incredible. Do you know what all this is doing? Do you know what this right here is doing? This right here is a hand that is reaching outside the circle and pulling them in to no longer feeling excluded, but making them feel and know they are included. It's one thing to amen a sermon, but God doesn't give us sermons to stop at our ears, friends. He tells us to take this out and live it out so that we can see people included in the circle of God. Somebody say a good amen. Amen. Man, be encouraged today. Look at that. Take notes. You know somebody. You could do that. If you know somebody celebrating alone this season, whether because of a divorce or maybe they don't have family in town, do something about it. Invite them over. Why? Because we're all children of God. We're all brothers and we're all sisters in a kingdom under one Father. Somebody say a good amen. Listen, I cannot emphasize this any more than I have already. We are out. We were all out of this circle at one point in life. Before Christ came, there was nobody in that circle. Our sin and despair and the curse of generation to generation left us all outside of the circle of God's law and way and will. Ephesians 2:1 gives us just a snippet on how much that was a reality. He says, once you were dead because of your transgressions, because of your disobedience and your many sins. That word dead translates no life. There was no connection to the life of God. Not one. Meaning we were outcasts. We were aliens, we were exiles, we were outsiders, we were castaways, we were abandoned, we were orphaned. We were out that circle. But He came to us. Jesus came to us. Luke 2:7, and she gave birth to her firstborn. A son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. And I love what is said three verses later. And the angel said to them in verses 10 and 11, do not be afraid. I bring to you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, let's all say this next word together, Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He came. He came for us. He came, as Galatians 4 verse 5 says, to redeem those who were under the law. In other words, to redeem those who were outside of the circle and could not on our own righteous merit make our way back in. He came to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption. Where is that scripture? You got that, Micah? Galatians 4, 5? To redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. What was that word? Adoption as what? Sons and daughters. That we might receive. This is what the baby Jesus would be saying. Listen, if he was in the manger, that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. You're no stepdad. We are family in this moment. We are family in this moment. Think about that just for a moment. Christ came. We're out of the circle. Aliens, outcasts, exiles. But because he came, we have been adopted. John 1, 12 through 13, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. Romans 8, 14 through 19 says, for all who are led by the Spirit are, look at that, sons, daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, as daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba in the Greek is like a little kid word. Daddy, like, you know, dad, like it just shows the intimacy here. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. And I love this, 1 John 3:2. Beloved, we are God's children now. Because of Jesus, we have been adopted as sons and daughters. Hear me today, Journey Church. And if we have been adopted as sons and daughters of the same Father, that makes us brothers and sisters. Right? So let's act like it. the role of power, the role of healing, the role of inclusion you have in someone's life is literally immeasurable. Though they're hurting, you reach out, get to their level, and stand with them, hurt with them, pray with them, love with them. Remember we played Avocado Boy? He was my new buddy last week. He's not my best buddy anymore. I found a new one. It was a little girl. They showed me, this is all over Facebook now, but they showed me a little girl who received one of the most heartfelt gifts. Little girl who's an amputee. And she didn't have one of her legs, and so they gave her a prosthetic, and they gave her the most creative gift. Take a look at this video.
Okay, are they down here?
Need the letter first. Need the letter first.
What letter? There's a letter in there.
You're gonna love it.
Open it up and read. What's it say?
Emma's doll.
Dear Emma's.
What?
You gotta be kidding me.
No!
They said after she arrived, she was given a room to stay while her new leg was being made. She was fitted with a leg in her favorite color pink and started walking on it right away. After a few weeks of training to walk and run in her new prosthetic, she is ready to go home and live her life without limitations with you. Oh, okay.
What do you say to the people?
Tell
them thank you.
Thank you for making.
Man, I think I've seen that video like 10 times and it hurts me even more all the time. And I was just, whew. I'm sorry for not having tissues in your seats. Just wipe them with your eyes or your hands, friends. Just wipe them with your hands. It's all right. You want to talk about making somebody who felt out of the circle feel included? There is power to your, watch me now, empathetic reach into somebody's life where you may not be able to completely relate to the pain someone is experiencing, but you go out of your way to let them know you are not alone and we're going to go through this with you. Indescribable power is found in that. What you saw in that video and what I pray you see from your home is a hand reaching from inside the circle. And with the love of Christ and the grace of God reaching in and pulling them in for those who feel left out of it. So let's do this. Let's just close our eyes right now, everybody in this room. Come on, before we go, let's just close our eyes. And as your eyes are closed here this morning, I pray that God would just show you right now who. That He would just show you who around you in your life, neighbors, coworkers, friends, family members are hurting right now. Who around you that you know is hurting And I pray right now, as I pray, just I want everybody, if you would, just close your eyes and just be obedient in this moment. And just let God speak to you by showing you their faces, just right now. Just God, show me their faces. Who is it, God? Who's hurting? Who's walking into this season feeling incomplete? Who's carrying a sense of absence? Show me, God, who? Just give you a couple seconds. Just let him show you those people right now. Now, with those in your mind, those people that God put in your mind's eye right now, if you're anything like me, forgetful, maybe you just need to write them down in this moment, or punch them into your phone, text yourself their names, or do whatever you need to do to record the direction of God to your life right now in this moment, which is those people that he's shown you. And take those names, take those faces, and do something about it. You know the who. We shared with you the what. And let God make the connection. You can look at me. And lastly, if you're here today and maybe you're the one that's hurting, I prayed with a lot of people after the service outside. Maybe you're the one that's hurting. Mike, have you got that picture of when in Arizona a few years ago? For those of you who don't know, my wife and I, we had the privilege of the youth pastor in Arizona for 5 years. And we had a precious girl who was in our youth group named Leah during that time. And Leah, at the age of, right before she turned 18, she got diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and battled it for 9 years and lost her battle to cancer at the age of 27. And it was 3 years ago yesterday that happened. And what you see in this picture, I took this picture because I this is Steve Lummer's church at that time. And or a moment after the church service, and Jeremy, you were there. You remember being there. Was Jeremy? Is he here? I remember him being there. And it was awesome to see what I saw. I was so impacted. I took a picture. You see this tall white guy in the white shirt in the middle? There's two of them, but I'm talking about the one to the right, kind of in the center. That's Leah's dad. No parent should ever have to experience losing their child. And this little blonde right below his left shoulder is facing us, is Leah's mom. And then the white guy in the white shirt to the left of him is her brother, Leah's brother. And this is a church family surrounding them, just letting them know you're not alone. You may feel alone. You may be hurting. But we want to hurt with you. And after that moment, phone calls and letters, Christmas cookies, and the efforts of the brothers and sisters in the faith begin to show themselves to this family in ways, watch me now, that brought smiles to their faces through the greatest of trials. And it helped them live those 4 points that we talked about. I remember they gave me the overwhelming honor to speak at Leah's funeral. And there was nearly 600 people in attendance to this funeral. The community loved this couple. Her husband was a police officer. The whole police force was there. It was fantastic. I mean, I love this family so much. And they gave me the honor to speak. And I remember saying in the moment, I wrote it down and I brought this with me, these words. I said from that platform, I said, if this life we have were it, that's it. I mean, the time we have on this planet, if the life we have been given on this earth is it and no more, then I have no hopeful words to give you. I have no purposeful words to offer. In fact, if it were true, the life we have on this earth, if that is it and no more, then let's just leave now. But this life we have on this earth is not all we have. We have another life that waits for us in eternity. And it's in a place so beautiful, Scripture says, not the half has even been told as far as how beautiful it is, how adorned it is with glory, majesty, and splendor. And it waits for us. And it's a life that doesn't end. And that's where she is. And that's where your loved ones in the faith are. As Christ followers, we will have an opportunity to see one another again. And can I tell you, I lean on that hope. I lean on it. And I want you to as well. Let's pray. I want to ask our communion teams if they would to come.